Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Father, we want to tell you again this morning, every day we say, Lord, teach us to love you as you would want us to love you. Reveal the method, the way. And Lord, let us practice that and then do the same with our fellow man, to love our neighbor as ourselves. For this is the fulfillment of the law and all its commandments. We thank you, Lord. It is the new commandment that you gave, that we would walk in love. And by this shall all men know that you are, that we are your disciples, if we have love for one another. We thank you for it. Thank you for the love for your word as well. Thank you for the love of prayer. Thank you for the love of studying, intake of the word of God, and learning more, always building in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people said, amen. Just one word to say to you. May God really, in this month, because like Paul says, I perceive, brethren, I'm saying this morning, just touching on the prophetic realm, I perceive there's changes happening in this month through to June. It's a transition happening in the spirit, And it's a worldwide impact. And so I am still praying around that. And then the other thing I would want to say to you is, I notice a lot of people, I'm told so, that are coming to church with these Bibles. Now, this is the Holy Scriptures Tree of Life version, and it's done by 70 Jewish doctorates. These people, you have to understand how they use Scripture and how they handle Scripture. They don't just sit here and translate. They sit one side, they go through a process of sanctification, even fasting and prayer, before they tackle anything of the Word of God or the name of God. These people have the maximum fear of the Lord, and they translated an uncanny, very accurate Bible in English called the Tree of Life version. Now, it's not every day I talk about something that I would recommend from the platform to buy, but this happens to be the Bible, and this one's a good one, and it goes with me everywhere, and people bring it to the prayer meetings. They've just brought in new stock now. The last stock sold out countrywide, and here is the authentic Jewish translation of Holy Scripture, but it's in English, and you'll get used to it very, very quickly. In fact, I think I would put it side by side in terms of accuracy any day with a New King James translation. And in fact, I don't go nowhere without it. If you look even at just one of the pages on my computer in front of me, what would be your left side is the Tree of Life version. It's in front of me all the time. You see, I use it all the time. And here, same thing. I use it all the time, and there it is. So because of its accuracy, because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, then you're going to hear accurately. You're going to find out precisely. Well, dear friends, maybe I should go to a couple of verses and work you through it and then see what the Lord has got for us in this day. I'm looking forward to an incredible day together in this place. Now, in the Bible, there is a Romans chapter number 10. I want to go to first and foremost. Romans chapter number 10. And I want to take just the fourth verse for time's sake, always the time's sake. And love you all. Good to see you today. Praying for you always. And I believe God has a miracle for you in the pipeline. Only believe all things are possible to you. Can you say amen? Amen. Every one of you are valuable and precious to God. And we love you and we care about you and care for you. Now, here we have Christ is the end of the law. This is Romans 10, verse 4. Romans 10, 4. For Christ is the what? End of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. The word believes is like a synonym of faith or trust, if you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, if you believe, if you trust in Him, we're going to get into that particular word in this day, that you can understand how it works from the original perspective when you talk about faith. So it's that Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. Now, in the New Covenant, Matthew 22, 37, somebody comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said to him, Matthew 22, 37. Matthias 22, 37, data. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And incidentally, here in the King James translation print here on the computer, it's all in capital letters, all caps, every single word. You shall love the Lord your God, from the word Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Why? Because if you love God, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to be a transgressor. You're not going to steal. You're not going to rob. You're not going to do the things which God commanded us not to do. Now, having said what Jesus said, we also see that the Bible says that Christ is the end of the law, and then he gives this new commandment to us. Paul, in the Bible, if I just go again to Romans and I look at what he says here, he says in Romans chapter number 7, he says these words, and I'm just always amazed. He says, I delight, verse 22, for I, Romans 7, 22, for I delight in the law according to the inward man. I delight in the law according to the inward man. So even though Christ is the end of the law, he is saying, Paul says, Christ is the end of the law, but I delight in the law according to the inward man. Because the law is good and the law is the truth and the law reflects the nature and character of God. And really, it's summarized by Jesus, love God, love your fellow man. Love God, love your neighbor. And how? As yourself. To me, this is very critical because no matter which way I look at it, there's always this connection to just everything within the kingdom of God. And the deeper I get into it, the more persuaded I am that I'm here, like you say, I'm on the mother lode of revelation, because this is how revelation, even faith, everything comes out of this, because you've got to understand the principles of the divine love. Now, in Exodus chapter number 20, I could quote this, but I'm going to read this. Exodus 20. And then God spoke all of these words. Exodus 20, verse 2. Exodus 20, verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. He brought us out of any sort of trouble of this world system. Out of the house of bondage, he brought us out of bondage. We got saved. You shall have no other gods before me. Notice those words. Still the same. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third, the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, see, he loves, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Deep in my heart, I delight myself, Romans 7, 22, in the word of God, in the law of God. And I show mercy to those who keep my commandments. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 7 is important. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That's, to me, a very dangerous one, that one, because they practice that very strongly among the religious community of the Israelites to this very day. And they would not say the word God. They would spell G capital and then dash D. And be careful, they'd rather refer to the name of the Almighty as Hashem, which means the name, Hashem. They would say, well, for example, I'm saying this also in the fear of the Lord, is say, according to what Hashem says, that means what the name says. Because the name, as the Amplified Bible says, representing all that I am. The name is representative of all that he is. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. There's going to be a lot of people in Hollywood who are going to be in deep trouble. Deep, so deep they haven't even got any idea. Remember the Shabbat, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he set it apart, he hallowed it. That means set it apart. This is a special day. Consecration, a solemn assembly. We are here. This is our Sabbath. And the early church from the beginning took the resurrection of Jesus as the day of the Lord and celebrated resurrection power from that day forward. And then when Pentecost came, that also came on the Sunday, which is the day that the church celebrates and sets apart the day to commit our lives to him. This is not a day for any other thing. This is a day to be honored and to give attention to God. If any other day, this is the day to give attention to God, not to anything of this world system. We need to break anything that wants to master our lives and set it aside and say, not now. God comes first. Then the next one is, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, that your days may be long, that your days may be prolonged, okay? So that your da verleng mag word, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You see, this is all applicable even in the new covenant. You don't murder. You don't commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. People do that. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that's your neighbor's. And these were the words that God gave, the 10 words or the 10 commandments. I deeply honor them because you can extract them as they are. Jesus summarizes them here. I read to you in the Bible. I read to you in Matthew 22 how that the Lord, in verse 37 there, how that Jesus takes it, summarizes it, love God, love your fellow man. And then Paul in Romans 7 says, verse 22 says, I delight in the law. And then he goes on, he says, Christ is the end of the law. And then he says, by the Spirit, God says, I'll make a new commandment with him in the book of Ezekiel, Jeremiah. It goes on. And he talks, says, a new commandment will I make with him in those days. I'll write my law in their hearts and on their minds. So still, when you are led by the Holy Spirit, then you don't steal. You don't murder. See, the Christian church should be the salt and the light of the earth. We are salt and we are light. We preserve what is good, moral values, moral systems, and we are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They haven't got it open here on this Jewish Bible, but it'll tell you exactly the same thing, because it is uncanny how accurate that one is. So what I'm saying to you is, it's all about love God and love your neighbor. I spent, even again this morning, even last night, and those words, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all absolutely all that is within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. I was walking outside last night. Those were the words I was saying to God. I said, Lord, this is your commandment. Write it in my mind to love you and to love my fellow man. The only thing that is difficult for me is that if I do this to love him and love my fellow man, I do not quite understand all the dimensions or the dimensionality of love, because forever this world of the unregenerate, those who are not born again, they do not understand. Die Here weet, hulle verstaan nie liefde nie. They do not understand love at all. All they say is fall in love, and it's the eros thing always. It's always a matter of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They have not got the God kind of love. So the understanding of the God kind of love becomes to me, I spoke about this, I'll speak about it again, because it becomes to me the, I'm telling you now, if I've ever preached anything, listen to what I'm saying. It is the catalyst. It is the energizer. It is the multiplier. It is the increaser. It is the activator of your faith. Because faith works by love. And if you don't understand the love of God, it becomes problematic. Let me read you this verse. We've also had it last week. I cannot get off the subject because it is just that important for us to understand. And Paul says in Ephesians 3:14, because last night I was walking about and saying, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my strength, all that is within me, all my mind, and I will love my neighbor as myself. Then I got into the prayer room this morning. I just woke up at 2:00 and I couldn't sleep. So I got up shortly after that and I just moved through to go and pray. And I spent maybe, it must have been two and a half hours this morning just praying one thing. Listen to me. You might say, what did you pray? What did you research? Let me tell you one thing this morning. I said, Lord, I do not quite understand how the divine love operates. Because it is, if I can click in there, and if I can align myself, and you too, if we can understand the divine love, our faith will work so strong, it's going to surprise all of us. I mean, you'll be surprised. But you've got to understand this. And you've got to understand that there is major revelation. I mean, if you take hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But faith won't work if you don't love. No matter where you go, if you say, Lord, I need grace, why would you receive grace? Because of love that God has for you. Why would you ever have mercy in your life? Because of love that God has for you. You name it. Why would your prayers be answered? Because God loves you. What would cause your prayers to become more powerful? When you learn, when you teach yourself how to love, and that's where we're going. So here is, I was listening to Dr. Chuck Missler on the subject, and he was doing dimensionality, which I'm not going to get into now, but I'm going to just read Ephesians 3:14, and I notice these words again. For this reason of what I've been saying this morning, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven is named, that he would grant you That would be because of his love towards you. According to the riches of his glory, he would grant you. Where does God's favor come from? He loves you. Why do we give favor to people? Because we love them. Why do we pray that they get favor? Because we love them. To be strengthened with might. That might is simply the word dunamis, which means miraculous ability through his spirit in the inner man. Now, that ability sits there. Everybody say, I have miraculous ability through Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now, watch what he prays in verse number 17. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All right, up to here, it's good. I can understand that I receive him by faith. You've been saved. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:9. It's by grace you have been saved. Then he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, everybody say me. Now it gets deep. Being rooted and grounded in love. The root here in the dictionary, Professor Mount says, to be strengthened with roots that get a grip of this. Okay? Firmly rooted. Take root. So it means firmly fixed, constant, firm, but strengthened with roots. What roots? Roots of love. God's love. Not as the world knows, God's love. Because there your faith begins to work and then you enter into his rest. So you've got to get this one right before the rest works for you. Therefore, it is a face of faith that it might be according to grace. You never get to the grace unless you have faith. You never get to the faith, really. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have a thing called salvation faith, saving faith. But why do we receive faith at all? Why is that channel open? Because God so loved the world. Love is completely sacrificial. Now look at this. Being rooted and grounded. That means to render firm and unwavering. Have the foundation of love. You. Who's you? Every believer of the entire church age. Everyone who is saved should be rooted and grounded in love. These are powerful words. May be able, that you may be able to comprehend. There's the problem. I spent a lot of time on that one this morning. To comprehend with all the saints. That word comprehend, I have to take it slow here. Grasp, detect, in the act, to seize, comprehend, again, understand, catch, obtain, seize, understand. It's something I've got to understand. With all the saints. Now, this is dimensionality. We see it here. What is the width? One. The length? Two. The depth? Three. And the height? Four. Four dimensions. This is where Dr. Chuck Missler came in, and he then begins to explain dimensionality in physics. But if you look at this, and he uses this scripture here when he says the width, the length, the depth, the height. And, you know, we had a song that says, so wide, so high, you know, so low. And we sang that song. I don't know what that song is anymore, but never mind. I can still vaguely remember that song, but it's there. Somebody might just, the love of Jesus, he's so wonderful. And then it's coming back now. If I carry on, it'll all come back. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. You know, those old songs, now it's back. Now the thing is all back, you know, the love of Jesus, he's so wonderful. It's like that. And then it says, so wide, so high, so broad, so you know, everything. You know, just don't worry, just listen here, just watch the scripture. What must I comprehend? What must I grasp? What must I seize? You see, if you can get this, if you can catch this, Your whole, if you saw your faith life, if you saw your interrelational life, if you saw your marriage, your children, if you saw your workplace, the whole caboodle will, that, see it as a machine. The whole machine runs on this fuel, the fuel of God's love. Once you've got that, and that's why he says, I'm busy praying that you may comprehend. But what does he say? What is the width, the length, the depth, the height? How wide is the love of God? Infinity. What is the length? How far is God's love? It stretches forever. Further than the entire creation. What is the depth? How deep does his love go for us? He lifts me up out of the miry clay. There is no depth. And what is the height? There is no height that can separate us from him. Now Paul says, now listen, I'll tell you what. Jesus said, you know, a new commandment I give to you. Then Paul comes along and he says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to bow my knees and I'm just praying to Almighty God this incredibly powerful prayer. And he says, man, that you may be able to comprehend. This morning I said, Lord, I need to comprehend. I really need to comprehend. I need to get down to this. I have to do further studies on this because, let me tell you, don't talk about the anointing without love. You see, we are living in many ways a loveless life. And if you convert to the kingdom of God, you're coming into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love, Colossians chapter 1. So the Son of His what? His Son of His love. God so loved that love is sacrificial, but my entire walk with God, I'll walk with God. My entire walk with God is on this. And if there is anything that I desire, this man desires, is that God will show me exactly what I'm asking him here. And that I would be able to explain to you a little bit more and point to your attention what will drive the machinery of your entire faith life. If you understand this. The width, the length, the depth, the height. To know the love of Christ. Now notice, which surpasses, passes, overshoots, to go beyond human knowledge. This love is something which, if you haven't got it, like the rulers of the darkness of this world, the Bible says, we speak the mysteries of God, which none of the rulers of the darkness of this world knew, understood, grasped, got. For had they known, to become intimately, ginosko, to become intimately acquainted with, had they known, and had they understood, if they caught it, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory, says the book of Corinthians 1. Very, very clear. Corinthians 1, Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 2. Talks about the message of the cross is folly for those who are on their way to perdition. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 18. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And it says, we speak this mystery which none of the rulers of this world knew, because had they known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Because what did they not understand? They did not understand the love of Jesus is so wonderful. And that you may be able to comprehend this one. Because it is so radically transformational. If you fail on this one, you'll fail on Christ-likeness. Do you know, if everybody in this country understood it, we wouldn't even have a single political argument. Amen. Everybody take hands. Here we go. We're walking together. We love each other. Give each other a hug. And there we go. We build a nation, build a future. Can you say amen? Because everybody's got his own dignity. Everybody is loved by God. God has made from one blood all the nations of the earth. We love the love of Jesus. He's so wonderful. So here he's praying. And I keep on getting back to this prayer where he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's not going to work without love. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love, third time, of Christ, which passes knowledge. Well, I got a university degree. That means nothing, because this passes knowledge. Are you listening to me? This goes beyond everything else. Christ-likeness in the first place is loving God and loving your fellow man. Just to get out of the starting blocks. Not as the world loves. They got funny ways of doing their thing. But as it comes to the people of God in the community, the saints in the light, if you understand love, you got the machinery in operation. That you may be filled now as a result with all the fullness of God. And then he says, now, once you've got that, to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that miraculous ability, that dunamis that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now notice that he can do exceedingly and abundantly far beyond your imagination according to the power that works in you. And that power that works in you is the power that works in you because of the love of God towards you. And if you want to hear his voice, you have to be a person of love. If you want to understand revelation, you have to understand the power of love. Kenneth Copeland said, it is the most powerful force in the universe. The most powerful force in all of creation. He did a series long time back. He said, forces of the recreated human spirit. Number one, the most powerful force is the force of love. Everything else is subject to that. And it surpasses knowledge. I can know this Bible. I can memorize this Bible. Say it word for word. Quote it, speak it, whatever. If I'm loveless, I'm just making a noise. And the same for everybody. Can you say amen? Can you give the Lord a praise of it? Will you all stand up? I tell you, I am so into this thing. And I'm saying, Lord, will you please, please explain to me that I could explain to your people how this works. What are the dimensions that you talk about here? Lord, because I know all of us can have better faith. Can you say amen? Amen? Better relationship, better everything. If we understand this one, we got it. If we catch it, we got it. Because from there, everything works through there. That's like the valve that releases the miraculous ability. Can you say amen? Amen? Father, I thank you this morning in the name of Jesus as we go our way, Lord, till we gather again tonight in your house. Father, unveil this mystery to us. Make it known to your children. Make it understandable, because it surpasses knowledge that is in this world. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Bless your people on the roads. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless and keep you, lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you, and grant you eternal salvation and peace in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
amen. For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.